Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Three calls, unconfirmed active shooter at NAS Corston.
At about 10:15, we got a call from EMS and from NAS dispatch that there was potentially an active shooter in one of the buildings on board Corry Station. Us, along with Pensacola Police Department and NAS Police, and Military Police, cleared the building, and we found no signs of an active shooter, and there are no victims. We continue to check the rooms as we speak, but it appears as if there is not an active shooter situation.
Thank God. I think all of us had the exact same reaction when we first, however you first might have heard the news, and, you know, I know my immediate reaction when this happened, just about an hour after the show ended yesterday, about an hour and a half after, around 10:30, we started to hear all the reports and people texting me, what's going on at Corry Station and all this? And, you know, in the early reporting, it was very unclear, which is always the case. And some people thought that it was at NAS Pensacola. It was not. And, my initial reaction is I have a bunch of key people that I contact, and none of them picked up the phone. I'm like, oh, no. Because these are people who always pick up, you know? And I was like, that's not confirmation, but that means you know, right? So then we're waiting to find something out, and we finally find a little bit out, and we try to report it as quickly as we can to you. And then, you know, we're just kind of waiting, and, you know, we find out the Naval Hospital is shut down, and NAS Pensacola has shut their gates, and, you know, normal, okay? Of course, Corry Station was on lockdown. And then start to hear that, you know, maybe it's starting to alleviate and maybe it wasn't even in anything. And then, you know, hear directly from the sheriff that they're doing their second sweep, but they didn't find anything, no evidence. And they were actually starting to draw down. We heard on the emergency management scanner for Escambia County that they were dispatching units away from the scene, which is, you know, they're drawing down resources. I'm like, oh, well, good. So then the question, and Channel 3 had asked Chip in a later interview about this yesterday, is, well, could it be swatting? Could it have been a deliberate effort to try to get a robust response to get somebody shot? That's kind of like the purpose of it, is to abuse the emergency response in order to do something awful.
One of my questions is, could this potentially be a swatting call? So we went back, as we're doing all this stuff, we went back and reviewed the complaint itself. And we, at this point, we do not believe that it is a swatting call. We got the report from two service members, and as we re-interviewed them, they maintained that they thought they heard three gunshots. Who knows what gunshots sounds like if you're not used to it inside this building. We believe that they think they heard gunshots.
Yeah, so it sounds like whoever made the report actually heard or thought they heard, did what they're supposed to do, is hear something, say something. They did, and we got the response that we got. And, you know, sort of unfortunately for the whole community, we're all reliving the attack at NAS Pensacola. I think every single one of us had the exact same gut drop kind of, oh, God, not again kind of reaction. And let's pray for the best. And, I mean, it was, in a sense, the best outcome that nothing had happened. It was basically just an exercise, and I will take that every single day over the alternatives. 437-1620, 437-1620, and, just do want to make a quick thank you to emergency response in Escambia County, Department of Public Safety, EMS, fire, I'm sure was, you know, because the EMS had been pulled off, fire had to do extra response, I'm sure, at the time. Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Pensacola Police Department, FHP, Naval Police, you know, everybody that was involved in responding to this situation. The lessons learned from the terrorist attack and just, you know, ongoing practice so that we are able to do what needs to be done in the awful situation where something like this happens. Coming up next, find out who gets canceled, who gets praised. Actually, it's an all praise report, but of course, you know, when I praise them, it's not a good thing for the Transgressors Memorial Service. Why did I praise congressional Democrats? Well, you'll just have to see in just a moment. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide what to get, I recommend you shop before you need to. Don't go shopping for a car when you're in need, because you're stressed, you're frustrated, you're anxious, you're afraid to say no to a deal that maybe isn't quite right because you're worried that a better one isn't going to come along. All the things that happen when you wait to the last minute. Or, I mean, sometimes things happen, okay? But if you know you're getting ready to need a car in the next 6 months, maybe 9 months, that's when you go shopping. Go to Frontier, look at the buffet of cars. 300 different cars and trucks and vans and SUVs in the lot. Sit in several. Sample, drive several. Really get a sense of what's out there, and then side-by-side compare and decide, okay, I'm really leaning in this direction. And if they've got it, okay, you can buy it then or come back for it later. Maybe they'll have another one in. Or you can tell them, hey, I'm kind of looking for this, but I'm not looking just yet. Can you start looking for me and see if something comes up and we can get a good price on this trim or this color or this, you know, particular version of this car? They do that for people all the time. Treat them like your car shopper. Okay, not just as a place to start looking, but a place to help you really finish that process. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Traffic on the fives now with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report. Looks like I-10, I-110, 98, and Highway 90 are all flowing smoothly. So good news on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Sunbelt Conference basketball returns to Pensacola, Florida, March 4th for the men's and women's championships.
Cinderella finds a way.
Get your seats at the Pensacola Bay Center. Tickets are on sale now.
Puts it up.
The 2025 Sunbelt basketball championships from the stunning Florida Panhandle in Pensacola, March 4th through the 10th. Go to Ticketmaster.com for the best in college basketball postseason action.
What do you want in a job? What if this job had great benefits and uncapped income? What if this job was right here in town, working for award-winning radio stations? What if this job had an opening right now as a marketing consultant, working with local businesses? What if this job, you occasionally get to listen to one of country music's rising stars or meet a famous TV star or athlete in the office? If you're looking for a job like this and have sales experience, then hurry up and send your resume to hr@newsradio1620.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The Studer Community Institute, with many others, is dedicated to creating America's first early learning city right here in Pensacola. To do that, Rishi and I built the United States' first early learning sensory garden right at the corner of Bailing Street and Main Street. Yep, right by the Brew-Through. Bring your child. Not only will they have fun, but they'll also learn a lot. And while you're there, you can have a coffee or a smoothie or a bite to eat. So please, bring your child down to the Brew-Through to the early learning sensory garden. Thank you.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Dear Other, and once again we find ourselves experiencing the problem of plenty. A week of so many encouraging notes that we just want to take time to celebrate them all. First, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick this week called for the highly popular New York Strip Steak to be renamed as the Texas Strip Steak. Even though the New York restaurant Delmonico's popularized the name in the 1800s, Patrick says there's no reason New York dairy cows should get the branding benefit more properly due to Texas's 12 million head of beef cattle. Obviously, we will rarely side with Texas over our beloved utopian New York, but in this case, we're on board simply because of the very first rule of wokeness. Changing words for the sake of changing words is the beginning of thought control. So bring on the Apalachicola-styled clam chowder instead of New England-style. Bring on the Sioux City wings instead of Buffalo. And bring on the South Padre Island iced tea instead of Long Island. The more language chaos, the better. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the Oscars, for being so successfully non-inclusive of non-inclusive movies. In case you were not aware, every movie nominated for Best Picture must meet a very rigorous inclusivity and representation standard, meaning the film either has lead roles played by a member of a minority racial group, or at least 30% of the cast be women, racial minorities, LGBTQ+, or disabled, or the subject matter of the film must focus on an underrepresented group. As a result, of the 323 films eligible for the awards this year, 36% of them, a whopping 116 films, were ineligible for Best Picture. And of course, this meant that a biopic about Ronald Reagan, a white, Republican, male president, and featuring an almost exclusively white cast, was not allowed eligibility for the award. And how can we advance the cause of inclusivity more effectively than by excluding the non-inclusive from our celebration of excellence and inclusion? So potent. So well done. Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, for protecting weaker films from the unfair competition of straight white male films and limiting the field to only DEI-approved films, so that the Oscar for Best Picture will always and henceforth be known as the Oscar for Best Picture, as long as it is certified woke compliant according to ISO 2025 DEI 4.0. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Third, and I want to warn you in advance that anyone who is still dealing with IDS, or Inauguration Denial Syndrome, you may want to cover your ears. Here goes. We want to congratulate Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. I know, hear me out. For his decision to restore the original names of several U.S. military bases, such as reverting Fort Moore to Fort Benning and Fort Liberty to Fort Bragg. Now, I know this seems like a step backwards to those of us who fought so hard to eradicate every vestige of the Confederacy from statues, street names, holidays, donut flavors, and military base designations. But the twist here is that Hegseth specifically changed the namesakes of these bases to non-Confederate heroes instead of their Confederate namesakes. So, rather than Confederate General Henry L. Benning, the installation is now named for Army Corporal Fred G. Benning. Similarly, instead of Confederate General Braxton Bragg, the base is now named for Army Private First Class Roland L. Bragg. In other words, they aren't Confederate-named bases anymore. There are two dimensions to our victory here. First, name changes for the sake of name changes are always to be celebrated because they create intellectual instability. They separate people from the language of tradition, which enslaves them through memory to the unjust structures of the past. Second, the most anti-woke of defense secretaries was forced to abandon the Confederate references. Huge win. So let us brag about Fort Bragg once again, which now fully pretends the past does not exist. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to take a moment to bask gently in the afterglow of the masterful example set by congressional Democrats in their handling of the State of the Union speech this week by President. Oh, no, you don't. We are still reveling in the power of their moment and the tears of joy their behavior brought to our eyes. First, the female Democrats, for their feminist solidarity, wearing pink in defense of women, after having voted just the previous day to refuse to prohibit biological men from competing against women in sports. Eradicating the distinctions between men and women is, of course, a core goal of our denomination. Also, as the 15th maxim of 10th wave feminism teaches, the best way to help women be women is by teaching them to become more like men. For only when women are men can they finally be women again. Second, the protest signs. Those small, nearly invisible, symbolically pointless, slogan-bearing black signs that ever so softly showed President that guy who really was in charge. Yes, as he thundered at them for a record-shattering 1 hour and 40 minutes, they fought back with their anointed and holy ping-pong paddles of protest. And if anything ever fully captured the roaring power of the Democratic Party in 2025, it was surely the holy ping-pong paddles of protest. May the eternal blessings of wokeness be ever on their grippy-pipped surface. Third, the glorious use of passive-aggressively sitting on their hands and not applauding the parade of policy achievements and human props that man brought before the American audience. Refusing to applaud for a balanced budget, refusing to applaud for peace in Ukraine, refusing to honor a man who lost a daughter or a wife who lost a husband, refusing to stand for a high school senior being accepted to West Point. These were all good. But the single most powerful moment of the night was when President, awarded 13-year-old cancer survivor DJ Daniel with an honorary appointment to the United States Secret Service. And Democrats sat still and pretended not to notice. Now, I know our critics have asked, what sort of special derangement are Democratic congresspersons were suffering from to refuse to celebrate a young black man beating cancer and being treated like a hero? But think about it for a moment. You seriously want them to cheer for a misguided youth's brainwashed desire to grow up and participate in the systemic racism of American policing, which oppresses his very own people? Have you forgotten how much we hate the police and want to defund them? Of course they didn't cheer. And of course they were right not to. You might as well have asked them to cheer for a boy who aspires to grow up and become the president of an oil company, or make guns for a living, or cigarettes, or become a priest. Or imagine asking them to cheer for a little girl who wants to grow up to become a nurse or a secretary or a mother. Remember your principles, people. Fourth, Texas Representative Al Green, who early on in the speech stood up mumbling incoherently what we can only imagine was a Spanish incantation or perhaps the name of his barber, while waggling his walking stick at the president until the sergeant-at-arms escorted him off the field of play like Darth Vader throwing the Emperor down the power shaft of the second Death Star. Yes, we know it was a total abandonment of our calls for civility. Yes, we know it made him the laughingstock of social media. And yes, we know it accomplished nothing. But that is the point. The complete and utter impotence of his hollow symbolic gesture is the reason we love it. For who are we, if not the people of empty gestures and impotent behavior? This was literally the participation trophy of protests. And as our mantra teaches, silence is speech, inaction is action, and impotence is power. And if anything in this world does a better job of representing our movement right now than an old Texas liberal feebly waving a cane at the President of the United States when he gives an official address, well, we can't imagine what that would be. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
627 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
The name of his barber. I love it. Traffic is brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands, expert installation, and 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. Just had an accident pop up at Fairfield and Tejar Drive. It's a vehicle crash with a roadblock. So definitely be aware of that. Just seeing minor delays around that one. I-10, I-110 are still flowing smoothly along with Highway 90, and it looks like 98's looking good also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
I was kind of proud of Sioux City Wings and South Padre Island Iced Tea.
I know. I was like, oh, that's cool.
You know how hard it is to find like place name referential foods that should really have been named for a different place? There aren't that many entrants into this category. So I tried to find them. All right, 627, News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump says he will probably extend the deadline of the TikTok ban if a deal isn't reached. Yesterday, he said he knows there's a lot of interest in the social media platform. Currently, the app's Chinese-owned company ByteDance has until April 5th to either sell TikTok to someone based in the U.S.
TikTok in, TikTok out. Tariffs in, tariffs out. Firings in, firings out. I'm going to have to start calling him President Hokey Pokey. I just, you know, just go on, David. Go on.
You sign the executive order and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. A New Mexico restaurant has tested positive for the measles. A New Mexico resident has tested positive for the measles after dying. This happened Thursday. The state health department said the official cause of death has not been determined, but they were an unvaccinated person and didn't seek medical care before dying. Andrew, I've got a story just for you here.
Oh. I can't wait.
It looks like Destin is on board,
at least
partially, with the name change for the Gulf of America. Yeah. The city has adopted a new ordinance. They're going to be using the term Gulf of America in new city documents and ordinances, but apparently they are going to retain the historic uses of the Gulf of Mexico name. Initially, initially their proposal had been to change the term in all of their ordinances, but they decided they wanted to maintain their history. They also decided that the president really didn't need their support in the name change.
Oh my God. Will somebody please join me in holding fast to some sanity? Please, somebody. Okay, all right, whatever. I did appreciate one of the city council members that they played on Channel 3 last night from Destin saying that, you know, he doesn't need our help. We don't need to participate in this. This is not our business. Let's just stay out of it. Anyway, all right, whatever. You can't be the anti-name-changing people and then change names that don't need to be changed. You can't be the anti-name changing people and then change names that don't need to be changed. I think I've said what I need to say. We'll be back in just a minute.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Stock futures are up after President Trump put some tariffs on hold.
Companies importing goods from Canada and Mexico will get a one-month reprieve from tariffs imposed earlier this week by President Trump.
During this interim period between now and April 2nd, this makes it much more favorable for our American car manufacturers.
But the president says there will be no exemptions or delays from wide-reaching reciprocal tariffs next month.
Fox's Jared Halpern, the president tells members of his cabinet they're in charge of staffing decisions, not cost-cutting advisor Elon Musk.
If they can cut, it's better. And if they don't cut, then Elon will do the cutting.
The upper part of a Musk-owned SpaceX Starship spacecraft explodes during a test flight, temporarily keeping flights from leaving two Florida airports. But the test was successful in catching the rocket booster with so-called chopsticks on the launch tower. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31. News Radio 92.3, it is 44 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Well, possible gunshots were reported yesterday at Corey Station in Warrington. That triggered, as you can imagine, a huge police and EMS response to the area. Also brought back memories of 2019.
I immediately went back to that morning of December 6th.
But Kinsella's...
That's Pensacola City Manager Tim Kinsella. He was the commander in charge of the NAS Pensacola when that attack happened. Three sailors were killed that day. Others were injured. Escambia deputies ended up shooting the gunman that day. But yesterday's incident had a much happier ending. It turned out to be a false alarm. Sheriff Chip Simmons said the SWAT team cleared the building twice and found no evidence that anything had happened. There was no shooter, no victims. He also said they interviewed the reporting service members and they do not believe that the incident was a case of swatting, as they believed that they had heard gunshots. Well, officials are investigating a fatal crash on Woodbine Road in Santa Rosa County yesterday. The Florida Highway Patrol says a Dodge truck had passed multiple vehicles in the center turn lane and then ended up crashing head-on into a sedan. The driver of the sedan died at the scene of that crash. Troopers say they helped the driver out of the truck, as well as his dog that was in the vehicle, but the driver then took off and fled on foot. He was later found southeast of that crash site. FHP says the driver was extremely intoxicated but refused to give a blood sample at the hospital. They later got a blood sample with a warrant. That driver is now charged with DUI manslaughter and is currently being held in the Escambia County Jail. A Crestview church volunteer has been arrested for allegedly abusing a 5-year-old in a church classroom. Investigators say 36-year-old Robert M. Watson III was a volunteer teacher at Cross Point Church in Crestview. The child reportedly told their parents Watson had touched them inappropriately and struck them. Investigators say staff members at the church cooperated with the investigation and gave them information to move the case forward. Watson was arrested after returning from a work trip to the UK. He's now charged with lewd and lascivious battery on a victim under 12 and child abuse. He was booked into the Okaloosa County Jail and has since been released on $10,000 bond. Well, there were no arrests, no tickets, not a single car even had to be towed this year for the downtown Mardi Gras parade. PPD's Mike Wood tells News Radio everything went just as smooth as possible, even with the new closure of Main Street.
The people that did need to get through, that needed to get to homes and businesses south of Main Street, were able to do that, and we were able to get them out of there when they were getting off work. So it couldn't have gone any better, to be honest with you.
And Mike Wood does tell News Radio that the safety enhancements will likely be around for future downtown parades as well. It's 30 years in prison for the man convicted of shooting and killing Damon Caldwell at Sam's Lounge on New Warrington back in July of 2023. 40-year-old Michael Rodriguez was in court Wednesday for his sentencing. He was found guilty of manslaughter by a jury last month. Caldwell's family members were in court. They spoke, saying his absence is felt every day. Rodriguez's wife, Naomi Palazos, also faces a charge in this case. Prosecutors believe that she helped her husband evade arrest following that shooting. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic.
That's right. Still dealing with that accident that happened at Fairfield Drive and Tehard Drive. It's got a roadblock. First responders are on their way to that, but I'm starting to see some minor delays on Fairfield. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Even 98 going through Navarre is not bad at all. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with clouds building in, high near 68 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. On Saturday, we will have waves of rain with 80% chance of showers, high near 75 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 55 degrees. On Sunday, 40% chance of rain, high near 69. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 49 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it is 47 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Markets will get another snapshot into the health of the labor market when the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics releases its February non-farm payrolls. Economists expect growth of 170,000 jobs, which is up from 143,000 in January, with the unemployment rate holding steady at 4%. Data drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The White House said select goods imported into the U.S. from Canada and Mexico, which are compliant with the USMCA, will be temporarily excluded from President Trump's 25% tariffs. This covers around 38% of Canadian imports and 50% of Mexican ones. The reprieve will last until April 2nd. Treasury yield moved slightly lower this morning as investors digested the latest tariff reprieve and awaited the non-farm payrolls report. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield fell one basis point to 4.269%. Futures are slightly higher ahead of key inflation data later this morning. That's your money now.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware. Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
At Pinnair Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pinnair Credit Union. Because at Pinnair, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at Pinnair.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pinnair Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
To our presiding officer, Speaker Perez and President Albritton, I look forward to working together to advance our shared goals. Now, Speaker Perez represents the busy, fast-paced, modern Miami, the gateway of the Americas, a unique place, not just in our state, but in our country. President Albritton represents the Florida heartland, sometimes overlooked, not by me, but by some, but that has served as the backbone of our state for generations. While coming from different backgrounds, these leaders have a strong desire to make Florida a better place. I congratulate them on earning the opportunity to lead their respective chambers, and I look forward to the days ahead.
So in his State of the State address, that was Tuesday morning, and then that got totally swamped out by the president's speech on Tuesday night. But Governor DeSantis appearing to offer an olive branch or bury the hatchet, please not my back, to Danny Perez and Ben Albritton, the Senate president and the Speaker of the House, and praising not just them, but their people, their lands, their vast tracts of lands, and talking about how wonderful everything is and can't we all just get along, which is a weird follow-up to these raging liberals hate President Trump. That was kind of the tone from a couple of weeks ago. Joining us now, we have State Representative Alex Andrade, District 2, the southern half of Escambia County and just the beachy front areas of Santa Rosa County. I don't know why I said beachy front. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. And I like to think that I represent the best parts of the coast of the Gulf of America.
Stop it. Why? Why would you do that? Why? Okay, fine. Anyway, moving on. Weird tone shift for the government. I mean, not a bad thing. It's good for them to get along. But did he stick his hand in the hornet's nest and realize he had done so and maybe we need to work with these people now?
I think there's a little bit of that. Listen, he's still the governor, right? And that's what I've always tried to like harp on with folks. Like, he's still a great governor. It's not like we don't want to get along. I think he is. He's trying, but you know, there's you know, making like some friendly gestures, and then there's actually internalizing how you interact with us. You know, so the proof will be kind of in the pudding for the next, you know, several weeks about like what is he actually going to be doing differently in interacting with us. I can tell you that there's still some hard feelings on both sides. The governor still harbors some hard feelings about everything and feels like he's been wronged somehow. But he is doing his best right now, at least to put a charm offensive on for, you know, the leaders of both chambers. And I'll take that as a good sign for now.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than the alternative, at least in my opinion. You had some good news this week, kind of surprising, actually. Your bill to protect the possibility of President Trump having his presidential library be built in South Florida, which, of course, I imagine South Florida legislators would try to thwart, local would. And you've got a bill to preempt them from being able to do that, HB 69. I was surprised by the vote, 13-2, bipartisan support. Did you get Democrats vote for this bill?
A couple Democrats did, and Andrew, I leaned in. I mean, I said this bill should have been numbered HB 45 or HB 47.
Or HB 45-47. Right.
Right. I made no bones about why the bill is filed, and I think ultimately some Democrats do understand, like, a presidential library here in the state of Florida would be a big deal. And so regardless of the fact that they might not like the president, they understand how big a deal a presidential library is for an area. You know what I mean? It would be a tourism draw. It would benefit the community around it. And, if it's on a university, it would benefit the university nearby. So I think, like, ultimately some Democrats, at least at the state level, there are some Democrats who, if they were in Congress, they would have stood up and applauded for that young boy with cancer or something. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, there's at least a few Democrats who still think rationally and logically about things and don't let emotion win the day every time.
You know, I'm curious you brought that up because I have a question about that. Hang on for just a second. Let me get a quick traffic report from John. Go ahead, John.
Let's see here. Just one accident to let you know about on Fairfield Drive and Tejar Drive. We're seeing, if you're going westbound on Tejar, we're seeing some backups there, maybe 12 to 15 minutes. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. You know, you mentioned about that there are still some Democrats in the state house and the Senate that are, more reasonable. They wouldn't have, gone down in flames like the Democrats in Congress did on Tuesday night. It reminds me of something that Matt Gaetz used to always say back when he was, in Congress and even before that. And I've talked with Matt so many times. But one of the things he always loved about Tallahassee, as opposed to D.C., was that you'd play softball with each other. You'd have drinks with each other. You'd eat every other person at the cafeteria, or you'd sit every other person in the committee rooms. And so even though you disagreed about things, you still had meaningful personal relationships with your members across the aisle. Is that still true in Tallahassee today?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we wouldn't have, we wouldn't have had two members of the Democrat caucus, convert to Republican in the recent months if that weren't the case, if those relationships hadn't already been established. Now, I will tell you, there's obviously some Democrats who do not see me as a human being, but the vast majority of members of the caucus, yeah, we break bread together, we talk. They know they can come to my office and talk with me about, the stuff in my budget that they need help with. And so it's absolutely more collegial than D.C.
Well, I like to believe that you and Anna Eskamani could have a conversation. I'm not sure that you and Michelle Rayner could have a conversation. So we'll just leave it at that. One of the bills or sort of one of the issues that has been a pressing problem for our state, and I know the governor brought it up in his speech. I think Speaker Perez brought it up in his speech, too, was property insurance. And interestingly on this, you and Senator Gaetz have both co-introduced a bill to work on this issue. What does your bill do? Why do you think it'll work?
Yeah, so all credit goes to Senator Gaetz on this one. He's the one that brought me the idea. So the bill would require property insurers, before they get their rates approved by the Office of Insurance Regulation in Tallahassee, they'd have to show the profits and losses, the income and revenue of their wholly owned subsidiaries or affiliates in which they own a significant portion, right? So if you own a vendor company, you own 25% or more, 10% or more of that company, you have to disclose that as well, because what we've found out in recent weeks is that even as these property insurers were reporting massive losses to the state, justifying rate increases a few years ago, they had these wholly owned subsidiaries or these affiliates that were making extravagant profits from the revenue generated on the property insurance premiums that Floridians were paying, meaning they were hiding their profits, hiding their assets, to prove a loss to justify higher rates on Florida consumers. So even though our market is improving, and you notice that distinction, and both can be true, right? Governor DeSantis was celebrating the successes that we've had in the property insurance market as far as like rates stagnating, maybe going down, and our market stabilizing, whereas, Speaker Perez was talking more about like, even though all that's occurring, we still just now discovered massive fraud,
yeah,
or at least indications of massive fraud. And so both of those things can exist, but I'm excited that, the speaker's kind of like digging in on that idea, and this policy proposal, will have some life. I don't know if it'll ultimately be mine and Senator Gaetz's bill or not, but I know that the policies within our bill are going to become law this year.
Okay. No, and it's discouraging to hear, but I celebrate finding a discouraging fact if it explains a thing that we might be able to solve and it makes sense out of, well, why were the rates so high and why, you know, that like that. So it's annoying to find the fraud or the effort to deceive, at least, but at least it explains things. And maybe that's something that we can fix, like you say, through transparency legislation. So I appreciate that. You and I were chatting a little bit about this earlier and before we got on the air. But one of the things that you've started looking at is the number of open positions in the state that are open for a long time. And this is a problem. We see this at local government. I know in Escambia County, it's true as well. But positions that are open, that are budgeted for, but not filled, and how that affects the budget. Can you maybe explain a little bit?
Yeah. So in the budget silo, I control the healthcare budget. I have several agencies like Department of Health and Agency for Healthcare Administration, DCF, and Agency for Persons with Disabilities. But we did an analysis, and I said in my initial draft of my budget, I want to have all FTEs, full-time equivalent positions, meaning like in our budget, we list how many employees we have on the books. On all FTEs that have been unfilled for 90 days or more, eliminated. And what that looks like on my budget right now is 3,589.3 FTEs, meaning unfilled vacant employment positions, nearly 3,600 in the agencies that I myself control on the state level, that which represent $150 million in taxpayer funds. So if we were to cut all of those unfilled positions, we'd save the state, you know, $150 million. What we're working through now is how many of those FTEs are somehow like, because what state agencies have done for a long time, Andrew, is if they can't get approval for a pay raise for somebody, they will assign two FTEs to one warm body. And it becomes over time a practice, and it has become over time in Florida a practice of these agencies to do that. And what we're now trying to do is a true up of how many actual warm bodies you're employing and make those, you know, positions equivalent to the FTEs we have on the books so that one person doesn't represent three FTEs anymore. And we can actually, you know, potentially like leave some of that rate. And by rate, I mean the $150 million, leave some of that behind while getting some of these kind of unfilled FTEs, these fake FTEs off the books, so we can have an actual accounting and estimation of how many state employees we should be employing.
So I think I understand the idea of assigning two or three job titles to a person and giving them pay they don't really deserve, or at least trying to figure out where we stand and how many people we need to actually have. Okay, I get that side of it. The part I don't quite understand, I've always felt a little bit confused by this, maybe you can explain, is if you identify, let's say, 3,500 positions that are unfilled and don't need to be on the books because they've been 90 days without being filled, and we remove those, it seems to me like that's not an actual savings of $150 million because you weren't paying the people, other than these, like, you know, misappropriation examples. It seems like the money wasn't actually going out the door, so how is it a savings? I mean, I definitely want to match up reality with the budget, but how does it save money?
It's going out the door, Andrew.
Oh.
I mean, okay. A lot of this money is going to employees right now. It's just it's not going to employees with FTEs at those approved amounts, right?
It's that widespread? That reappropriation to other people is that widespread?
Andrew, I've been fighting this when I was in control of the TED budget the past 2 years. I've been fighting with the Florida Highway Patrol about this for 2 years. This is a common accounting practice in our state right now, and it's something that we're trying to rein in and fix because, I mean, it is – you don't know which state agency is doing one-for-one and which state agency is trying to run around on it. And a lot of times it's probably just fudging the numbers. So if we don't have allotted payment amounts for specifically coded FTEs that are accurate to the marketplace, meaning like we can't hire anyone at this amount of money for this slated FTE, We need to fix that. We need to actually do a better job of adjusting that every year so that we don't have the circumstance where agencies are asking us for FTEs just so they can pay existing employees more.
Wow. Okay. And you say you've been working on this for a couple of years. It sounds like DOGE Florida has been alive and well long before the president got elected. Is that right?
I'm just glad the governor wants to participate now. Sorry.
I'll leave it at that. Alex Andrade, he's our state representative for District 2. Alex, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week. We always do this through session where you and I catch up every Friday on what's going on, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew.
654 here on News Radio 92.3. If you want to have that beautiful, lush, green lawn coming up this summer, the time to fix that problem is not this summer. The time to fix that problem is in advance. You got to prepare for the crop. The crop is grass. You want to prepare for the crop, you got to do it in advance. It's like, listen to Ryan Jenkins talk. You got to think ahead of time about how to do this. Well, that's where NSET comes in. They want to help you get that lush, green, beautiful, healthy lawn this summer, keep weeds to a minimum, and that means starting now. They provide 8 annual applications, time, program targeted to get your lawn what it needs when it needs it. It's easy to get started with a free lawn analysis and an estimate, no cost to that. Initial soil sample tells you which particular amendments are needed for your lawn and get that plan in place for your lawn success. Nutrient applications with standard service visits, seasonal pre-emergent weed control, broadleaf and grassy weed control, turf damaging insect control, and fungicide. Also, they have a healthy landscape program for tree and shrub care if you're interested in that, aeration, grass plugs, and all of that stuff. $100 off today your first lawn application with any new annual lawn program that includes soil sample and lime treatment on an average size yard. Sign up today at NSEC, ENSEC.net. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're seeing, if you're trying to get on the NAS Pensacola, the base traffic is backed up all the way through Winthrop. So thank you for the heads up on that one. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 starting to experience just minor slowdowns through that construction zone. But other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models, or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
6:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Tin can effect. David.
Well, an Olympic snowboarder from the 2002 Winter Olympics has been added to the FBI's 10 Most Wanted Fugitives list. Ryan Wedding, apparently known by several aliases, is wanted for allegedly leading a transnational drug trafficking ring smuggling cocaine across North America.
So you mean when he was all excited about, look at all this great white powder, bro? He wasn't just talking about the ski slopes?
Apparently not.
You're listening.